بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I want to begin by saying the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, after he talked about trials and tribulations and tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah said, these are the people who, when they face difficulties and calamities, they say, we are from Allah and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. Yesterday we all received the absolutely incredibly horrible, terrible news about what happened in Sri Lanka, where over 200 people who were worshipping in two churches and others who were in the restaurants for Easter brunch, they were killed. As of this moment, we do not know who did it. And the Sri Lankan press has been, unlike most other press and media, the Sri Lankan press has been extremely responsible with their reporting, and they are not spreading rumors all over the place, and that's a very, very good thing. So as of now, we do not know who did it, but whoever did it, the first and foremost thing we do is we condemn this completely and totally out of hand, without any reservations, without any riders. An act of terrorism like this has absolutely no justification in anything at all. It has no justification in history. It has no justification in the experience of people. It has no justification whatsoever in Islam. No matter what, it has zero justification. And therefore, as Muslims, we completely and totally condemn this. We hope that the government of Sri Lanka will investigate this matter and find the culprits and deal with them to the final extent of the law. In Islamic law, that means a death sentence and execution. Islam does not believe in awarding life imprisonment for mass murderers, because when you award life imprisonment for mass murderers, especially in countries where prisons are run according to humanitarian laws, in effect, you are rewarding that person instead of punishing them. Because what you are doing is you are guaranteeing them a reasonably comfortable life. And by reasonably comfortable, I mean in many of these prisons, there are gyms, there are sports facilities, there are libraries, there are entertainment centers, there are televisions. They get good food, nutritionally sound food. They have free medical aid. So, giving all of this to a mass murderer at the taxpayer's expense is not something that Islam finds any justification or I find any sense at all in doing. The punishment in Islam for murder is death. For mass murder, obviously we cannot resurrect a person 200 times and kill him, but definitely he can be eliminated and wiped off from the face of the earth once, and that should be done. I don't know what the law is in Sri Lanka, but whatever it is, we hope and expect that the government of Sri Lanka will take it to its final extent to ensure that an example is set for anyone aspiring to do these things. As far as Islam is concerned, the matter is absolutely and completely clear without any ambiguity whatsoever. The ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah is absolutely clear, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the meaning of which is that the death or killing or murder of one innocent person, just one person, is equal to the killing of all of humanity. I don't know where one can find a declaration like this. And what more can somebody say? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the killing of one innocent human being is equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the killing of all of humanity. and the saving of life of one innocent person is equivalent to saving the life of all humanity. I draw the attention of all of you, brothers and sisters, Muslim or not Muslim. Allah did not say the killing of one innocent Muslim. Allah said the killing of one innocent human being. Whether that human being is a Muslim or a Christian or a Sikh or a Buddhist or an atheist or whoever or a Hindu makes no difference. The killing of one innocent human being in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the Quran, according to Islamic law, is equivalent to the killing of all of humanity, and the saving of life of one innocent human being is equivalent to the saving of life of all humanity. Now, more than this is not in my power to say, because I am quoting from the highest text that exists as far as we are concerned, and the highest word that exists, which is the word of the Creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe. There is nothing that is beyond this. We see the reflection of this in the life of his messenger, in the life of his Habib Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many, many occasions. Let me narrate for you two occasions. One is a time between Sulh Hudaybiyah and Fatah Makkah, where a man by the name of Thumama bin Uthal was captured in the Najd. He was the head of a very big and powerful tribe in the Najd called Banu Hanifa. Now this Thumama bin Uthal, he was captured, he was brought to Medina, and he was imprisoned in Masjid al-Nabawi. He was tied to one of the pillars of Masjid al-Nabawi. Now Thumama bin Uthal at the time was an enemy of the Muslims. He could have been killed for his enmity. He was captured by the Muslims, and there was nothing to save his life. But what did the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? He was imprisoned in the masjid. He was tied up to one of the pillars. Food for him was sent from the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Food for whom? For a prisoner who is an enemy is sent from the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. One day passed. At the end of the day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Are you willing to accept Islam?" Thumama bin Uthal said, "No." He continued to be imprisoned. The Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, execute him, kill him." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No." He continued to be imprisoned. He continued to be given food from the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A second day passed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Are you willing to accept Islam?" He said, "No." Same thing continued. Third day passed. At the end of the third day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Are you willing to accept Islam?" He said, "No." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that he should be released and allowed to go home free. People were amazed. They said, "This man is an enemy. He came here. He got captured. You presented Islam to him. He was not forced to accept Islam. Islam was presented to him. He refused to accept Islam." The Sahaba said, "At least let us ransom him. He is the head of a very powerful tribe. They've got enormous wealth. At least get some money for him. I mean, just setting him free." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No. Set him free. He has my protection. Nobody will harm him. Let him go." Thumama bin Uthal left, went away. After some time, he came back. After a couple of hours, he came back to Masjid al-Nabawi, and he said, he came to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I accept Islam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah." He said, I accept Islam. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and you are the messenger of Allah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his Islam, and he asked him, "Why did you not accept Islam when I presented it to you, and how come you came back now?" He said, "I was convinced about Islam on the first day itself, but I didn't want to accept Islam when I was imprisoned by you, because people would think that I am accepting Islam because I am frightened, I am afraid of dying." He said, "Now you released me, I was free to go." He said, "I went, I had a bath, I changed my clothes, and I came. He said, I already accepted Islam right on day one. Second incident, which we all know, which is the incident of Fatah Makkah. Here, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is conquering a city which had tormented him, which had people in that city had tormented him for 13 years. They had tormented his followers, and the followers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were closer to him than our own children would be to us. So it's not just a matter of some random followers. He knew them personally, and the love that he had for the Sahaba is more than the love that we have for our own brothers and sisters and our own children. Those people were tortured. They were tortured, they were murdered. His own daughter was killed, radiallahu anha. Then all the followers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in one way or the other, they were forced to leave their hometown, their motherland. They were forced to leave Makkah. Some went to Abyssinia, some went to Medina. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself was forced to leave Makkah. And in this process, the people of Makkah, they also confiscated and they usurped and they misappropriated all the property of all of these people. So they lost all their wealth. They lost their lands, they lost their homes, their houses. Many of them lost their family members. Many of them were personally, brutally tortured. Many of them were murdered. This was the history of Makkah. And Makkah didn't leave it with that. Then there was Badr, then there was Uhud, then there was Khandaq, then there was Sulh Hudaybiyah. So one after the other, Makkah continued to attack the Muslims and continued to kill them and continued to oppress them until finally, in the 8th year of Hijrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa victory over the people of Makkah. So now Rasulullah ﷺ, with all of this history, is entering Makkah at the head of a conquering army of 10,000 people. What would have been completely natural for him to do? Especially given that we are talking about the 7th century and we have a history of conqueror after conqueror after conqueror who laid waste to the land, who completely decimated populations, who completely wiped out cities. This was the norm. The conqueror did exactly what he wanted. He could have slaughtered every living being in that place. He could have burnt the whole place down. He could have done anything he wanted. That was the atmosphere in which we are talking about. Right? But what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He entered Makkah with his head bowed down, with his blessed forehead almost touching the pommel of his saddle, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for this victory. Then he calls the people. Who are the people? The same people. Literally the same people. In many cases, they were actually the same people who oppressed him, who oppressed his followers, who tortured them and so on and so on. He called all of them. They all came. He said to them, what should I do with you? They said, you are Kareem Ibnul Kareem. He said, go. Idhabu fa'antumuttu laqah. He said, go away. You are today freed. La tathriba alaykumul yawm. He said, today there is no blame on you. He forgave everything, totally, completely forgave everything. He forgave the fact that they murdered his own people. His own daughter, he forgave the fact that they took away and usurped and stole his property and the property of his followers. And not only did he forgive them, he didn't even seek compensation for it. He did not say, you are free, but return what you gave. He didn't even say that. He said, you are free, go. This is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the example of Islam. This is the principle of Islam. There is not one single incident in the entire seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ where any single individual who was innocent had been killed. Not one incident. And therefore today when we see what happened in Sri Lanka, we pray for the people who lost their families. We pray for them. We pray for comfort to their hearts. We pray that they are able to deal with their sorrow. We pray for peace and harmony in that beautiful country. When I think of Sri Lanka, I think of, among all the other places, I think of Vilpattu, which is one of the national parks there. And the Vilpattu to me is a reflection on this earth of what Allah mentions as Jannah. Jannat in tajri min tahti al anhar. Allah says gardens under which rivers flow. That is what Vilpattu is. Such a absolutely beautiful place with lakes and forests and beautiful birds and animals and everything else. And the people of Sri Lanka, if somebody asked me as a general, as a nation, if you tell me who are the kindest and the nicest and the softest people in the world, I will say Sri Lankans, because this is my experience. My experience of Sri Lankans is that kindest, nicest, the sweetest people I've ever found. Everywhere. Absolutely 5-star service if you go to the hotels, not in a 5-star hotel, any place. Because people are nice. Law-abiding people, I have not seen a single person doing anything wrong on the road. Never. In all my trips in Sri Lanka, I have traveled literally hundreds of kilometers in Sri Lanka. Not one single time will anyone overtake when there is a single line on the road. Not one single time. Nobody blows his horn. Nobody stands and urinates in public. Such a beautiful country for something like this to happen. It's an absolute tragedy. I mean, I literally couldn't sleep all night thinking about what must be happening in that place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Sri Lanka. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Sri Lankans and keep that country in a state of unity, in a state of peace. We ask, we make lot of dua. This is what we can do. We can call on our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the creator of all of us, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for His protection for all innocent people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish anyone who is guilty of any act of terrorism, no matter where they are. These people are not to be associated, whoever they are, whether they call themselves Muslim or Christian or Buddhist or whatever, they are not to be associated with the religion that they claim to belong to, because by their action, they have exited from that religion. They are not to be associated with their race or their nationality, because that has nothing to do with their actions. Their actions are completely and totally inhuman. They are not even human in their actions. And let us not associate this and then have divisions amongst ourselves, because that is what these terrorists want. They want the good people to be divided because of their actions, and for people to say that so-and-so did this and so-and-so did this. No, this is the actions of sick and completely demented minds. They should be individually punished, and they should face the full force of the law wherever they are. And they are not to be associated with whoever they claim to be associated with, or with whichever religion they claim to be associated with, because this, by their action, they have exited their religion. It's as simple as that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy and on all people everywhere. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ